Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. It's episode 196 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ. Can we pass a law that, like, no one is allowed to ever use Hallelujah in a movie or trailer again?
Ever again.
But, Zack Snyder, doubly so.
Exactly. And there's actually, if at any point during this podcast we want to talk about that, there's a small Twitter story which surrounding that. Very small, completely without incident, but I'll tell it. Anyway.
Okay. You need to just do that now.
Okay, I'll tell it now. Why keep people in suspense?
Yeah,
okay.
Why keep me in suspense? Exactly. I mean, the hell with everyone else.
Yeah, the hell with everyone else, including Frank. That's right, Frank. You heard me. I'll tell the brief anecdote now.
Hit me.
Right. So as you know, and our listeners know. The DC fandom, they dropped a more extensive teaser trailer for Zack Snyder's Justice League, and they played Hallelujah over it. Not even a cover, but like we got to hear Leonard Cohen singing over scenes of like Aquaman and Darkseid and all the rest of them.
Well, I mean, yeah, go on.
I made a couple of tweets, and one of my tweets was, I guess Zack Snyder just wants us to remember the worst sex scene of the 21st century cinema, and somebody said, you mean Fiona and Shrek, and
what?
Well, that's the thing. Like they used Hallelujah, like a cover of Hallelujah, in Shrek. So,
yes.
And of course, and while you do not actually see a Fiona and Shrek sex scene, obviously they had to have had sex at some point in canon.
I guess, but
and then,
it's
but,
still a weird choice.
Well, and the thing is that, of course, the scene I was referring to is that absolutely excruciating scene with Night Owl and Silk Spectre and Watchmen.
Yes.
When they have that horrific softcore, like, drawn-out sex scene, which made me think that Zack Snyder has never had sex, but has watched a lot of Cinemax, maybe? Or Skinemax?
With you.
Yeah. Anyway. And then suddenly, involuntarily in my mind, that scene was replaced by Fiona and Shrek. Mm. And that's pretty much the story. Now I'm imagining Watchmen with, like, Shrek DreamWorks characters.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So I lay that horrible image again at the feet of Zack Snyder.
This is
still on him.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. So do you want to talk a little bit about the trailer now that we're in it?
Sure.
I know it's not your favorite thing, but nor mine, but
I mean it's a piece of crap. I don't know.
Yes. Well, that much we know. And actually, there's actually something that disappointed me, that was trailer adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Snyder's response to critic Scott Mendelson.
Yes, that was the thing, right?
Yeah, who said, you know, this kind of looks like just mostly footage, like alternate takes of footage from the movie, from the theatrical release. And Snyder's kind of duly snotty response, one of which is, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have, you know, commented on a leaked trailer. Come on, dude.
Sure.
But also saying that this movie is for grown-ups. I'm not sure where that shit came from.
Well,
but
my favorite thing, and I did retweet it last night, was Brian Q. Miller, who has a good comic writer, you know, wrote a great Batgirl run. Started posting pictures of various toys sold for the Justice League movie.
Oh, okay.
And every single time he would post it, he'd be like, only for grown-ups.
Oh shit. Okay.
It is one of my all-time favorite things now. Because as I told him, like, all I could do was picture like Zack Snyder at a Target slapping at the toys in the aisle, going for grown-ups.
Oh shit, that's great. That is fantastic. But I think the thing that disappointed me is that, I mean, say what you will about Snyder's, like, you know, ideas or the way he stages things, or his weird inability to actually have human moments in his films. Like, one of the things that people say about Snyder is that he's widely known as, like, the nicest guy. Like, people want to work with him because apparently he's, like, just a swell dude to work with.
Okay.
But that was not, by essentially sicking his army of like, zombie dipshit fans on a critic, that's not nice guy behavior, and I'm wondering if maybe...
I could see someone who is, we both know people like this, who is, like, with their coworkers, for instance, very nice.
Yep.
And, you know, nowhere else.
True. And I'm wondering if maybe, I mean... Most charitable interpretation is he didn't know or didn't think about it, but I think he just had I think it was just a spiteful thing, but I mean that sort of thing really, really ruins your day/week. It's by having, like, just pile on in your mentions and being bothered by these idiots, which I have no doubt is what happened to Mendelsohn.
And again, like, what killed me with the trailer was just not only that, like, we're going to use Hallelujah. But it was a kind of jaunty version of Hallelujah.
Yeah, it was.
It was very obviously not, like, keyed to the movie.
Yes.
So much as Hallelujah, this movie's being released.
Exactly.
And that just made it all... Crass isn't the right word, but crass is the right word.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I know.
It's less about, look at this movie is good, you should see this movie, and... You know, so many of you, like, and there are people who, again, there are people who didn't do this, but the largest vocalist portion of the, you know, Snyder Cut people were, and continue to be, absolute fucking douchebags.
Right, there's a great number of
them. Rewarding their behavior is not a good thing going forward.
Exactly.
And then rewarding them with the trailer, like, Hallelujah, we did it, guys! It's just like, oh, fuck all of this.
Yeah, welcome to a bunch of entitled people with a parasocial relationship with a director.
At least it'll be 4 1-hour fucking parts.
Okay, and here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. I mean, and if you look at the trailer, I mean, this is part of what Scott Mendelsohn said, and this is ties into what I'm going to say, is that some of it was stuff that I don't think we've seen before at all.
Sure.
Like the shot of Dark, that one shot of Darkseid, or Snyder's usual CG pile of duty stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically looked like Doomsday, just more duty. Anyway, but most of it was, as Mendelsohn sussed out, alternate takes or just different color grades of stuff we've already seen in the movie, or stuff we saw in trailers, like the Ray Fisher football game stuff, or, you know, the cyborg stuff. Like, we've already seen that. We've already seen... And there are some filler bits, like when Diana sees, like, the arrow, you know, fired from Themyscira. I mean, and this is very much like the director's cut of... Batman v Superman, where a lot of it was just, like, filler stuff in between that was edited out for good reason, because it just wasn't all that interesting. And here's the thing, I imagine there's probably a satisfying version of Zack Snyder's Justice League that is longer than the brisk 90-minute theatrical cut. Maybe 2 hours, even 2.5 for that epic superhero length that sometimes you want in a film.
Okay.
But 4 hours? There is literally no way that this can be anything but a hideous, boring slog.
Well, now, you think that, but I have a spoiler for you.
Oh, shit.
Hour 3?
Uh-huh.
Is just all of them
watching as Aquaman tries to get out of those wet fucking jeans from when he jumps in the ocean. That's it. It's the entire. It's just like one long shot.
Just
of
like...
just the rest of them sitting there being like, no, we'll wait. It's fucking fine. I don't want to rip them. They're fucking new. And yeah.
That would be, you know, I imagine there would actually be an audience for that. But also, yeah, that's kind of what I'm expecting.
Anyway, no, the DC fandom thing, I mean, we were all mocking it for the name and just the, you know, now it's 2 days with like 8 hours each instead of like one 24-hour thing, which makes more sense anyway. And I think they realized, I don't think it came down to like, oh, we have less stuff or we have more stuff. I think they just realized that no one was going to cover it. Like, yeah. Any decent site only has, like, two or three people to cover this max, and they're not going to do 24 hours straight. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, someone in PR was just like, hey, slow your shit. Let's not kill people.
Yeah, no one's going to be watching this at 3 in the morning. Well, nobody's covering it.
Right.
Yeah, I watched about 5 minutes of it. No, 10 minutes, I'd say.
I actually didn't directly watch any of it. You know, I just waited for, look, it's this thing. But I will say that even though, like, you know, the Snyder Cut, again, not for me, you know, there's a bunch of it that wasn't mine in that sense, but in this part, at least, they didn't have a dud. Like, bits I know I didn't watch it happen, like, there was a Harley panel where they managed to not announce a season 3, which is a problem, but apparently, like, it was hysterical.
I wouldn't doubt.
You know, like, even the Titans panel, it's like... It looks like it might be a more interesting season of Titans. No one knows where it'll air or when it's happening. But, you know, eventually. It was just they didn't announce anything that looked wretched.
No,
you know what I
mean? Yeah, no, I know. I mean, the Wonder Woman trailer looks pretty dandy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of against the Aquaman news.
I mean...
That it's going to be more serious. Like, I'm not a fan of the movie, but I still feel like that's the wrong way to go.
Yeah, I think leaning into, like, the inherent silliness of Aquaman is really... I mean, and it's... Why would you make Jason Momoa serious? Like, his whole role in the first Aquaman movie, and I think pretty much anything past Game of Thrones, is to show up and be like, hey, my man! And just be like, this is bullshit! Yeah, let's do it! Getting paid, you know, that it's just he's there to have
it's
a good
fun.
Time, right? So yeah, serious Aquaman, yeah, I don't know, thanks.
I don't get it. But again, like, I don't think, you know, like, the video game stuff was interesting.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like I said, like, the Suicide Squad game, I have no interest in playing. Well, I have no real interest in playing. I'm pretty sure that they're not actually going to go through a deal like, you know, like, oh, it's Evil Dark Superman. It's obviously because they show you the Brainiac stuff. It's Superman's being mind-controlled, and they'll have to save him instead. And probably fight him for a while. But the trailer itself made me fucking laugh. I'll give him that.
Yeah, the boomerang. Actually, I like the boomerang hitting Superman's head, and then Captain Boomerang going, ah, King Shot.
Shouldn't have done that.
that was good. I mean, that was sort of the spirit of some Suicide Squad.
Right.
The
Suicide Squad teaser was, like, everything they did... looked at least well done, whether or not it was aimed at any particular group, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and that's really fucking impressive for a company that just fired, like, a third of its people, and I guess we shouldn't think about that or discuss that, just consume things.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I mean, and, I mean, they're putting Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad, so...
Are they?
Yep, David Dasmalkian is going to be...
Oh, right. No, that's not who I was thinking of. That's an Are They.
Oh.
I will look it up right now. Also, you notice that with King Shark, they mentioned the actor who's doing the mocap, but not...
The voice, but I also noticed that...
Which will be
that
Taika.
Yes, because in the...
It has to be.
In the cast role at the end, it has Taika Waititi, but he's not in the... character role, so I'm like, that the roll call. So I'm like, yeah, that's what TD. Which,
right. Nathan Fillion, by the way, is listed as TDK, or the Detachable Kid, which is not a real character. So it looks like they are going to probably be doing the, he's from the future, and he's Arm Falloff Boy.
Oh my god.
Since the Detachable Kid would lead you right there.
Yes.
You know, Peter Capaldi is the thinker. Like, again, the Suicide Squad movie looks ridiculous in all the right ways.
Precisely.
The Batman, I'm not interested. Like, I'll watch it. I'll probably enjoy it to some degree.
I trust Matt Reeves as a director. I mean, I've liked the stuff he does, so I'm like, yeah, I mean, sure. But I agree. I'm a little weary of the grim, dark Batman.
I mean, I think if he does do what he's saying he's going to do and really center the detective stuff, it could be fascinating.
Yes.
I am just also, I don't care about grim, dark Batman anymore. I just don't. And that's me. You know, like I said, like, people who, like, I have no problem, you know, with the movie, and I think it's aimed really well to people it's aimed for. They just ain't me.
Precisely.
And again, like, that's the thing. It's like, but overall, I think they did a really good job of curating stuff upcoming. You know, the Flash movie doing Flashpoint, and again, centering Batman, because everything has to fucking center Batman.
Yes.
Fine, whatever. I do think it's interesting that they admitted that the, you know, like, this opens up the DC multiverse for, like, this movie takes place over here, and this movie takes place over here, and we can have different interpretations. But that they mentioned that it all started with the Crisis crossover.
Yeah. I kind of dig that.
Yeah, and yet they are apparently considering, you know, Earth 1 realistically, or Earth 0, Prime Earth, whatever, to not be the CW show stuff, as much as the CW stuff might call itself that.
But rather the
Justice League movie stuff.
I'm not surprised.
Movie side can never just go, yes, we're secondary. They can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometime in September, we're going to get another DC fandom thing, this time, as they say, centering on the multiverse, which really means TV shows and animation.
Yeah, cool. Well, maybe we'll hear some Harley Quinn news at that point.
Well, and that's the weird thing, right? Like, they had the Titan stuff, the Harley stuff, and, like, a Flash bit, like a sizzle reel for the Flash show in this one.
That's
and
right.
And yet. So there'll probably be way more by then, and they just kind of teased out some things. You know, hopefully, again, in September, we will hear Harley has a new thing, and, you know, has a new season, Doom Patrol has a new season. Like, these are the things we want to hear.
Precisely.
And my guess is the other reason that they delayed until September is in September they will announce it, like, as of this weekend or next weekend, whatever it'll be, all the DC Universe streaming content will move.
Over at HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they just have to get all their little technical ducks in a row to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're gonna, I mean, we all know they're doing it, so.
That is
and true. I'm looking forward to it, because, again, I think it'll open it up to a bigger audience, right? Like, Doom Patrol, having the bigger audience for season two really has helped that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we all loved it, and we all told everyone about it, but they're like, I don't want to get this thing. You know, and it really helped the Harley show. So, I think it'll just be a goodness.
I think, yeah, it's funny with Doom Patrol. I was funny you mention it. Ever since we discussed Umbrella Academy is basically a version of Doom Patrol that doesn't quite do Doom Patrol properly, I went back to my project of trying to get through Umbrella Academy, and got through another episode, and it is so very correct. I mean, it is Doom Patrol, just with a different roster of characters, and just achingly boring for some reason.
I mean, and again, like, the comics, which, you know, are good, and I think the show has its place. You know, I do know a lot of people who really do enjoy it, who have also seen Doom Patrol, mind you. But I think the comics especially, you have to remember, Gerard Way, huge Morrison fan.
Right.
Huge Doom Patrol fan. Did Umbrella Academy basically as, like, his version of, like, X-Men / Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't know that a bunch of years later, he'd actually get a shot at writing Doom Patrol.
Exactly.
And it's kind of interesting to watch, like, here's a show based on his creator-owned version of this, and here's a show that incorporates some of his own comic stuff from Doom Patrol. Like, that's living the dream.
Yeah, and when I first read the Umbrella Academy comics, I wasn't really familiar with Doom Patrol, so I took it as just being an X-Men sort of, you know, riff.
Sure, I mean,
but
a lot of that to be seen in, you know, X-Men, which happened after Doom Patrol. We can get into that, you know.
Yeah.
Quagmire. But yeah, they were all tied together, right?
Exactly.
So, But getting away from the DC fandom thing, because I still can't take that name seriously.
Okay. Oh, but before you do, I just want to say in the 10 minutes that I watched, Will Arnett was introducing the video game, and watching Will Arnett trying to say fandom and just grimacing, I mean, I know it was kind of deliberate, but also I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I also did hear that like Jim Lee kept popping into random fucking panels.
Okay.
Like, oh, it was kind of fun. Like, it became a drinking game.
Oh, nice.
And again, it's great. Like, he's into it. Like, they're all into it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely unrelated to anything. But I don't know if this is going to be expanding. But I have some cameo news for you.
Oh, do tell.
Weirdly enough. Both Olivia Taylor-Dudley and Jason Rouse have joined Cameo for the next 48 hours. So when you hear this, this is over. So this is kind of just for you. For the next 48 hours, and 100% of their proceeds will go to Covenant House.
Huh.
No word yet on other magicians people doing it. So far it looks to be just them.
What do you know?
But, I think... My favorite is that, like, Olivia Taylor just kind of announced it. Jason wrote the little video for it, and he's like, you know, like, I'm good at, like, birthday wishes, or, you know, like, whispering sweet nothings. Like, if you have people in your life who aren't wearing a mask, I'm really good at public shaming. And I just, like, for some reason, like, that line was like, now I kind of want to do that, you know?
Yeah. Just have Jason Ralph say, Travis, put on a fucking mask.
Right? Like, I and again, like, I would never really order a cameo type of thing. Like, they're like $100. It goes to charity, so it's vaguely tempting. Yeah. And I'm like, just so long as, like, Hal Appman doesn't do it, I'm safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, and it, yeah, Hal Appman, $500, and you're sitting there going, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, or like somewhere Bishop. Like, so long as neither of them get involved. I'm okay.
Yes.
Or, you know what they need to do, though? They need to rustle up the writer who was also the voice of the rabbits.
Oh, my God.
You want to make some money for charity? You let them do fucking rabbit cameos.
Oh, shit.
Right? Happy birthday. I mean, come on.
Eat my ass. For charity.
Like, how,
yeah.
Like, would you not pay, like, you know, like, $100 to get, like, you know, like a... I don't know, minute-long, like, personalized, like, rabbit message? You know that you would.
I probably would.
Jesus, I hope they don't think of this, because I don't want to spend money.
I know, and I bought a new laptop, so I can't afford this, so...
Anyway.
It isn't here yet. It's on its way.
I think kind of quickly-ish, when on Earth happened?
Yes, I just watched it this morning.
Ah.
Episode 4.
Yeah, we're finally getting into the season.
Yes, good fun. We've met the new enemies.
I really like the whole Black Badge thing from, you know, like, A, Jeremy being back is great.
Yes.
But just the entire, like, oh, we have to pretend you're not this, and finally when I'm just going, you know what, fuck this. It was the moment that kind of needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried that they would take a while to get there.
Yeah.
But again, nothing in the season is taking a while, so... Which is good. No,
how many episodes are we getting this season? Is it
I don't know. I thought, like, the standard, like, 10 or 13?
Hmm.
Ba-da-ba. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Man, this is podcast gold. I'm just kind of sitting
here, right?
waiting to find out information.
Yeah,
it's like, oh wait, but there's some dead air.
it doesn't mention. You know, season 4 premiered. That's all we have.
Okay. I mean, I imagine we're talking 10 to 13 episodes.
12.
So. 12. Yeah. Wow, we were right on the money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been like 12 or 13 every year. Yeah, 13 for the first and then 12 ever since. So,
cool.
And it will air in two chunks because they didn't finish filming them.
Right.
So we're going to get the first six that'll end at the end of this month.
Okay.
And then no word yet. Yeah, this week and next week. And then no word yet on when the next six will happen. Because they ain't done.
All right, then. Anyway, about that episode.
Sorry.
And also we find out that Nicole's problems aren't just PTSD.
Right.
She's obviously made some kind of deal with the Clampets, and I'm wondering if maybe it was part of she did something that helped bring Winona and the gang back.
I think she meant to, but it didn't actually do anything.
That's
why she was just like, I didn't use it. Like, fuck you.
But no, now we're going to get either a possessed Nicole or a sick Nicole or something.
Something.
The Clampets are just going to be tormenting the Earps, obviously, for the next one.
I almost feel like there'll be something that will lead to an episode called Hot and Cold.
Oh, yes.
We can only hope.
Have they not pulled that out yet?
They have not, weirdly enough.
Oh, man.
They've pulled out a lot of, you know, fun episodes. Most of their episodes are song titles, though.
That's true.
All their episodes are song titles? I think that's like a standard thing. Yeah, they're all like country western songs.
Oh, how did I not notice this?
You know, it's like the first two episodes of the season were On the Road Again in Friends in Low Places, so.
That's right, yes. Yes, okay. I noticed that, but...
Right. It's a wide enough one that it's easy to kind of skip. I do love it when shows have patterns for their episode titles.
Yes, me too.
I still think the Cougar Town one might be one of the weird... Like, I just loved because it was always a Tom Petty song. And how you go that many seasons with always like that? That was impressive.
That's a good point. Like, there's got to be like a. I mean, Tom Petty's not around anymore, so if you do that, there's got to be some kind of.
We did like 12
limit.
Or 13 albums. They tended to have like 8 to 10 or 12 songs each, so you have
there
some
you
time.
Go. That's true. And apparently, there's a new Tom Petty song has just been released. It's funny you should mention this. Yeah, I just saw the headline, and I didn't have the time to click on it. More Tom Petty material is out there in the world, running around, chewing on things, setting fires. I don't whatever it is Tom Petty songs do.
Oh, okay, I see what it is.
Guess what say?
It's a demo track. They're gonna do a Wildflowers box set.
Oh.
Which is gonna have a whole lot of demo stuff and like session things.
Oh, okay. So, for the completists out there.
I mean, you're talking to someone who owns everything, so, yes. And Wildflowers is, like, one of my favorite albums ever, so...
Awesome.
I don't know that I want it, just because I have, like, a bunch of the other box sets, frankly.
But you don't have that one.
No, but I don't know that I need it.
I'm thinking you might.
I don't know. It's just because a lot of that, like, frankly, a lot of that is, I mean, it has some songs that were never released, but some that ended up on other albums, and then, like, home recordings, and a disc of all of it being done live. I don't know if it's in order, so I'm guessing not from the same show, but sure. And then alternate versions. And what I tend to find is that, like, the live stuff I'll listen to, you know, but like a lot of the alternate version stuff I listened to maybe once. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, okay, cool, it's an alternate version, let me hear it, and then I'm done with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it'll be worth the money for what will essentially be for me two discs of new stuff in like a 5-disc set.
Right. Although I should point out your birthday is coming up.
My birthday is past, sir.
No, it's coming up. I mean, about a year from now.
But oh, okay.
It's going to be here, so you might as well act soon.
I mean, you're not wrong? I guess.
I don't know why I'm so fixed on you spending a bunch of money on 5 discs of Tom Petty material.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, how much it is.
I'm gonna guess it's not cheap.
I don't know.
$12.99 on sale this week.
Yeah, there's gonna be a non-deluxe version, which is just Wildflowers Again, and then the 10 studio tracks that didn't make the cut. So there is that.
That's interesting.
And then there's these, you know, the deluxe edition, which has 4 CDs. And then there's the super deluxe edition, which, good lord, has like a tour program, a patch, handwritten lyric reprints, certificate of authenticity. This is going to be hideously. Yeah, but there's no listing on things like, you know, how much any of this will cost. Because why would there be?
Yeah, well, frankly, for those who are going to buy it, that
yeah,
bit of information.
Yeah, there's like an ultra like deluxe version. Oh, here
Jeez.
We go. Okay, the 4 CD version is $50. The 5 CD version with like all the replica shit is $150.
Okay, that's getting into the price range, I thought.
Yeah. The Ultra Deluxe Edition, by the way, which is not, it's LP, it's vinyl only.
300?
5.
Oh.
Yeah, there's like a 9 LP version, Super Deluxe Edition, which, you know, is LP instead of CD, and that's 250 instead of 150.
Right.
And again, like, I could see myself buying the $50, because that'll have the album, it'll have the 10, like, songs from the original sessions, the demos, but and then also the live one. So it's like there's 2 out of the 4 that I really would like.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? I might. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, we're talking about other stuff now.
We're talking about other stuff. We're continuing on. So yeah, we're. I think we've talked about all the Winona Earp stuff that there is to be talked about.
Yes, and of course, outside of that. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go on.
No. I was gonna say, but there was, of course, Lovecraft Country.
There was.
What did you think of Lovecraft Country, Adam?
I really liked it. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of the book.
Yes.
And this took that as a launching point?
That's precisely what I thought. I wasn't too far into it, and I'm like, okay, this by no means are we doing a faithful page-by-page adaptation of Matt
Which
Ross
is good.
Here. Yes.
Because, you know, you don't need to do that.
No.
But, no, I thought it was exactly what, you know, it kind of needed to be, right? Like.
Yeah.
It was fun. It moved. It did all the things. I don't know. It just, yes, it worked really well. like I'm kind of, I don't know. It, on some level, I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. No. I know what you mean.
Because like it did the thing.
It very much did the thing. But I was I was just extremely pleased that they did like such a good job with it. And
yeah.
that they were willing to sort of to take the material and reshape it in the way, you know, in the way that showrunner, I think Misha Green, thought would best work. And it's funny because I've seen there are a few sort of like there are a lot of similarities, weirdly enough, between this and Damon Lindelof's take on Watchmen.
Right.
I mean, partly because they're, you know, this we're getting characters, you know, taken from pulp horror for this, and from comics for Watchmen, and some very similar kind of sort of sequences to, like, you know, tease out race relations and racism, which I thought was kind of neat because they're probably in production around, you know, similar times.
Right.
But I think Lovecraft Country, I mean, we're not dealing with, you know, Watchmen and the questions around that source material. So I don't have to watch this and be like,
But yeah, no, the cast in this was fantastic.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The cinematography, that thing is like just everything about it was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one of those, like, it was like an hour and 10 minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I turned it on, I was like, really? Like, I like Lovecraft Country, don't get me wrong. But do I really want to sit here for, you know, an hour and change, right?
Yeah,
which
turns
is
out
petty, but hey.
Fair enough, yeah.
And it turns out, yes, I did, actually. Very much so, thank you.
Yeah.
It just sped by.
Yeah, very much. What I want to do is I want to see... I kind of want to see at least another episode before we do some more substantial discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say that I think my favorite, like, just tonally and in terms of just everything involved, I loved the absolute control over tone and you know, creep. With the, tell me again, like, what, like, you know.
Why they call it the White House?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he stare at the wall.
Jesus.
And, well, what you got to remember, too, is that for me at least, is that before I bought this house, the garage caught fire minorly.
Oh.
And there was a bunch of smoke damage up in the attic. And it was, you know, obviously all repaired, and they used the money to kind of redo parts of the house and then flipped it. But one of the things was, I was like, you know, was there really actually smoke damage? And so we went and checked the attic, you know, when we were first looking at it. And, of course, all the beams, everything had been painted white, because this is... You know, you hide the damage and also it helps reinforce it if it's not damaged to a structural extent.
Right.
So it's one of the things I'm very weirdly familiar with. So the minute he looked at the brick, it was like, why'd they paint the White House? It's like, oh, fucking run.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah. It's funny because that's exactly what I was thinking when he's sort of looking at the brick. I'm like, it's funny, it's just painted white. I'm like, ah, fuck, they firebombed this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was precisely it. And it's one of those things where I can kind of picture some people watching going, well, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't really, like, have a bunch of people show up, you know, a bunch of vigilantes show up, you know, from the fire department with guns. I'm like, they might.
Yeah, they really might.
That's, you know, that's the whole thing with sundown towns and sundown counties.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. So that was, yeah. So some people were pointing out, sort of, I think jokingly, that, like, I'm from Massachusetts. Why are all the cops in this, why are all the mass cops in this show sounding like they're from Georgia? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, they probably filmed in Georgia. And it's a good shorthand, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm, you know, there are plenty of redneck racist cops in Massachusetts. But you see, like, that sort of southern cop thing, and it just... You know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope, just great. Monsters. Good reveal of the monsters. Good Shoggoth design. You know, all worked out extremely well.
But yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like this was the intro, and now we need to actually get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there. Although, yeah. I will tell you that... So... I did make a weird... TV mistake?
Oh.
You know that thing where it's like, oh, I watch these things in the wrong, you know, like, just you have tone shifts?
Mm-hmm.
So, I watched Lovecraft Country, and I was like, well, I'm still, like, you know, sitting here doing stuff, whatever. I should go and keep watching the show I was watching, and just go right back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which should be fine. But I cannot in good conscience recommend that you go from Lovecraft Country to The Grinder.
No. No, I can see how that would not work.
That was a choice. It was not the correct choice.
Fair enough.
But it sure as shit was a choice.
Exactly. Oh god, I have to sit down and rewatch that show.
Oh just... god, it is actually better than I remembered it.
Nice.
Like, just the way they do the, you know, opening with all the episodes and then finding ways to tie them in.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is, they managed to find this weird way to do an almost courtroom drama. Lay it on top of a family sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it all just slightly off balance enough that it always works.
Yes. And I can see why it didn't catch on with an audience, with a larger audience, though.
I guess. It makes me sad.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. Like when you see something that works that well and it just... But it's just maybe for like for a casual audience tuning in, it would just be tonally odd.
Yeah. It was, you know, neither fish nor fowl, as the saying goes.
So basically, curse you, audience.
I mean, it happens so often with so many things at this point.
That's true. Yeah, and we're seeing cancellations of shows now just because of, you know, pandemic problems.
Right. You know, The Grinder's one of those that I think, like, if it had shown up on, like, Hulu.
Right.
You know, somewhere where it wasn't expecting a network audience level.
Exactly.
We'd be in season 4 by now, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe the joke would have run old and we're better off. Who can say?
Whomst can say?
Whomst amongst us?
might know what wouldst have happened. That's, and as Aslan says, no one gets to know that.
Right. I thought we were quoting the Snyder Cut. But,
well, you know, quoting Narnia is kind of quoting a Snyder Cut thing.
But... I think if we're allowed the Snyder Cut, like, they should have a raffle and just, like, get one person to be like, okay, now you get to do your cut.
Oh, nice.
Like, here's all the available stuff. Put in whatever music you want to do that. Because I'm like, okay, I'm going to release me the 4-hour fucking, like, Yakety Sax cut. What's up? It'll be the same movie as the Snyder Cut.
Oh, my God.
Every action scene will have Yakety Sax playing over it.
You know what this 4-hour Snyder Cut nonsense reminds me of? Yeah. But I think I've told you this before. There was a while when I was really into like hunting down fan edits of movies.
Oh Jesus Christ! Yes, right. I have seen some. Yeah.
Yeah, and they really vary widely in quality. Like I tried watching like a couple of Dune ones, which is basically just the guy who wants to do the fan edit. He wants to do it the right way, so he's reading out passages with like. While a camera pans over illustrations about the Butlerian Jihad. And I'm like,
right.
this is bullshit. But anyway. Also really, like, I remember seeing a Terminator 3 fan edit that actually really did improve on the movie. Just a lot of judicious edits from somebody who clearly knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So it can help. But, I mean, really, this just strikes me as Zack Snyder doing a fan edit of his own film.
Yeah. Like, I kind of want, like, because, you know, his whole thing of, like, rather than have, you know, like, a single shot from the Whedon stuff, like, I just want someone to be like, wait, but this shot was Whedon's. Like, just, like, a 3-second shot when it's released. Like, hey, gotta burn it all down now. I'm sorry. Gotta take it off. Can't use it. Can't air it. Sorry.
Set fire to those reels. You dipshit. I don't know.
So, as we kind of start to wind down here, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you willing to die for the New Mutants?
I am willing to... No, I am not willing to die for the New Mutants. Nor am I willing to die for Christopher Nolan, nor for that Russell Crowe film. Believe it or not.
I just... For some reason, the New Mutants one, it's like you waited all this time to release it. And this is, and I understand why. Because right now, the movie's invulnerable. If it does badly, it's the pandemic's fault.
Right.
Like, it can't be that we didn't release it because it was bad.
Yeah.
it just did badly because of that. Like, I get it.
And I mean, it's the withered stub end of the X-Men franchise, right? This is it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's about it. I mean, I'm really, I want to see the film.
Right. No, me too. But yeah, I will happily wait until I can see it at home or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Christopher Nolan thing, I'm just pissed about. Because unlike every other film right now that's releasing to critics, that they're doing, like, secure digital releases that you can actually do.
Yeah.
He's forcing fucking critics to go to a theater.
Of course he is.
And it's like, there are a bunch of critics who are just like, no.
Yep.
And it's becoming an issue.
Do not want to die to give your film a B- or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
It's actually showing here on our IMAX theater.
Good for it?
Yeah. I mean, as you know, as I've said many times before, our IMAX is one of the very few in North America that actually shows in 70 millimeter film. So every Christopher Nolan film since The Dark Knight has shown on the IMAX because Nolan is really big on, like, projecting, you know, film, blah, blah, blah. So if you're a Christopher Nolan fan, this is kind of a big deal and an opportunity. But man,
it's irresponsible.
I know. And I'm actually disappointed in our science center where our IMAX is housed. I'm like, they're hyping it up, but not one mention of how they're going to do this.
Right. I might need a hard stop to go return a phone call because my family is insane.
Okay. Sure.
Sorry. Wasn't really expecting that.
That's okay.
But we'll check in on Lovecraft Country next week. And
we will.
And Earp, I suppose.
Indeed.
And I don't know, something else. Something will happen.
Something else.
We'll play some music for now, though.
Get that music. Woo!